It's very important that immigrants living with dementia, they get the care, they get the services that they need at the later stage of their life. So to meet their needs, to meet the needs of their relatives, their families, of those living with dementia, it's important to ensure the services that are actually being provided, the aged care services, are culturally and linguistically safe and appropriate.
Welcome to the Dementia Research Project. I'm Matt DeRay, and in this podcast, I explore the history, innovation, and champions in and around the world of dementia. Peldin Chejor is a public health professional and PhD candidate at Edith Cowan University in Perth, Australia. His research seeks to explore and analyze the experiences of dementia care in older people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. Starting his career as a pharmacy graduate, he worked as a hospital pharmacist in his home country of Bhutan before joining the Ministry of Health as part of the Drug Regulatory Authority. Thank you very much, Peldin, for your time. I'm really excited about this conversation.
Yes, I'm looking forward to speaking about whatever I know of today.
Fantastic. Peldin, you grew up in Bhutan. For myself, I've always had seen Bhutan with a lot of fascination, because I think one of the things that's well known about Bhutan is the Gross Happiness Index. I would just like to understand from you, what was life like growing up in Bhutan and how that shaped a bit of your worldview and perspective?
All right. Thank you, Matthew. And it's indeed a good opportunity for me to speak today here. I feel fortunate enough to be born in Bhutan and to be calling myself a Bhutanese. Yes, you rightly pointed out, we live in the land of gross national happiness, where our developmental philosophies are guided by the happiness philosophy, not purely the materialistic things. So there are a lot of other fascinating things that the world admires about Bhutan. The other one being a carbon negative country. So Bhutan is the carbon negative country. So we take almost all the carbon dioxide being produced by the other nations. Growing up in Bhutan and living and studying in Australia in a foreign land, I've been here in Australia for last almost 6 years now. So I can realize how fortunate and how living in Bhutan. Basically, I was brought up in the eastern part of the country in Bhutan, where I had to walk to school two and a half hours every morning and back to home in the evening, 3 hours back. So I think it has been a long journey through, in terms of education, in terms of how you live your life, how, the social life is important. So it's helping me now how to enjoy, how to take life, how to take learning, living in a country totally different from where I was actually raised. And yes, definitely. There are numbers of lessons, number of reasons that I'm actually using, that I have been raised, I have been educated, and I have been taught in Bhutan and schools in Bhutan.
You trained as a pharmacist and then moved into the field of dementia research. Could you explain rationale in your mind for that switch?
Yes, thank you for this question. Yes, I think it hits me really hard why actually I chose this path that I've taken now to take dementia as my core research area. I'm a pharmacist by training. I have a pharmacy degree from India. So you can see that I've been, I've acquired my education in different countries. Yeah, so I did my pharmacy degree from India. Then I did my master's in public health from Australia, after which I started my doctorate degree in dementia care research. This, having a background in pharmacy, then doing a public health degree, then coming to dementia research, they're all interrelated, of course, in a different aspect of dementia care. So when I say I'm doing my dementia care research for my PhD, I focus on understanding the dementia care experiences of older immigrants living in Australia. The one reason that why I chose to take this path is being myself an immigrant. I've experienced that living in a country, you know, of course, now I'm young, I'm healthy. So even for me, it's not easy, you know, to live in a foreign land, in a different culture, you know, a different, a health system, you know. So you can't think of, even imagine of, you know, those people like me, you know, from immigrant backgrounds, older people living with dementia and how they're actually coping with their life in Australia. So that couldn't, you know, that kept on, you know, haunting me for a while when I was actually thinking of doing my PhD. And of course, then going back to Bhutan, you know, dementia is very, I can say, is not really understood by the population, the general population. Even the healthcare professionals, those people working in the healthcare, they're not really aware about dementia and dementia care. In Bhutan, there are, of course, Bhutan is small, with a small population, so we have hardly 20,000 people. So we had a small number of cases of dementia, but I don't remember, a few people that I know living with dementia. So it's hard for them to get the treatment that they wanted, you know, they need. The dementia is understood in a different context, you know, especially in the Asian context, you know. So there are a lot of stigma around dementia. So it is impacting the care that they deserve. So, and, you know, people from older immigrants, when I say older immigrants in Australia, so there are people coming from Europe, coming from Asia, so living here, you know, most part of their life, contributing to Australian economy, working for Australian, you know, Australian people, when they are old, have to live with dementia, so it's a different feeling, you know. I think it's like a shift, you know. You are already in Australia, so you are in a different environment, you know, different culture, different language. And once you are living with dementia at an older age, so you tend to revert to your language, your primary language. You tend to revert to your own old culture. So that also, having to, you know, analyze, really realize all these things, then I really had an interest, you know, this interest kept me going. Okay, so maybe I should see how language and culture do really impact the dementia care and the experiences of immigrants in Australia. So this is how actually I started my research on dementia care for my PhD.
I find that really fascinating because you mentioned the fact that people with dementia, they typically reflect back to their own culture and maybe their early years growing up. Like, we talked to somebody who works on a music therapy app. And essentially, the research they found was that people with dementia, when they respond most to music, it's music in their early formative years, early teenage years. So I can totally understand what you're saying, that disconnect almost for immigrants in, not to say new environments, but environments which they did not grow up in, can be a bit jarring.
Yes, you are exactly right about the music. I think over the years, many researchers, scientists have actually, there are evidences saying that music is actually, there's a so-called music therapy for people living with dementia. And when you say for immigrants, yes, they feel more close to their culture, to their country, to their early younger lives, younger days. So that, you know, takes them to their old life when they hear the music of their own language. And it is also one of the findings that I have actually come across my PhD research. Yeah, definitely.
You've identified the area of research you wanted to study. In the process of finding the outcomes, what were the main challenges you encountered?
Yes, this is a very good question that requires, you know, the support, not only for the researchers. The support is needed only for the people living with dementia, as well as those, their families and their relatives and their professional caregivers, you know, taking care of them, looking after them. For me particularly, since I started my research in the times of COVID-19 pandemic, so I did not dare to put a proposal to do a study by collecting a first-hand data from people living in dementia. It's always challenging to include people living in dementia in terms of ethics, in terms of, you know, how we can actually get the participants participating. So considering all the challenges, so for my research particularly, I did not collect data. So I used the data that has already been collected by the Australian government. But the data that I had used for my study is a huge data. It's a nationally representative data collected all across Australia. So yeah, I've been fortunate to have the access to use the data that has been collected over the years. Yeah, then, you know, collecting data, you know, interviewing people living with dementia is always a challenge. It's always a challenge. Interview. So I think we can explain in different ways. One, number one can be language, because people living with dementia, they will not be able to express what their experiences actually. For example, the pain that they feel, they'll not be able to exactly report. Of course, when I say that, it doesn't mean not everyone will be able to. There will be some people in the early stages of dementia who can actually report their experiences, but in most cases, and also across the research evidence that has come through over the years, most of the dementia care research in related to experiences, the care comes from the family members or their caregivers. So it's quite rare. So even in my research, the first study that I had done, so I did a systematic review of the international literature on dementia care for older immigrants that I have included, I think, out of the 18 studies that met the eligibility criteria for my review, only 2 studies have involved people living with dementia. So rest of the studies all came from the family caregivers. Forget about interviewing people living with dementia, you know, coming from, you know, different background, different linguistical background. It is always difficult. I think not only as a researcher, you not only have to be expert in interviewing people, but also you should be, you know, well aware of, you know, how these people living with dementia actually, you know, they interact. How do they actually engage? How you can make themselves engage? So yeah, it's really difficult. And yeah, this has been reflected across all the evidences that has come prior to my studies. So it's always difficult and challenging.
In terms of that particular study, Belden, like, what are your key findings and what are your hopes for outcomes and outputs from your research to be practiced in industry?
Thank you. Thank you for this question. Yes, I will try to summarize the research findings that as a result of my PhD thesis. Number one, in terms of dementia care for immigrants, so I'm talking about immigrants in Australia, it all depends on the healthcare system, the aged care system in Australia for that matter. So it's very important that immigrants living with dementia, they get the care, they get the services that they need at the later stage of their life, throughout their life. So to meet their needs, to meet the needs of their relatives, their families, of those living with dementia with the condition, we felt it's important to ensure the services that are actually being provided, the aged care services, are culturally and linguistically safe and appropriate. Because however the good aged care services, top quality services you give, if it is not meeting, if it is not satisfying the needs of those living with the condition, living with dementia, I don't think the people are going to access, in first case, access the services, even if it's available. So yeah, of course, we understand the challenges, huge challenges coming with that suggestion, with that recommendation, because when we say culturally and linguistically appropriate and safe care for people living with dementia, so we need to be having caregivers who can speak the language and understand the language that the people living with dementia can understand or speak. Secondly, the aged care, the infrastructure setting has to be in such that it presents sort of a culture, sort of infrastructure that that particular person living with dementia was born, you know, brought up. So it is a huge challenge for the government and the dementia care organizations to ensure that. But I think we should start somewhere. Language interpreter services, it is challenging, and we do not know if these language interpreter services, if provided, can definitely can really ensure appropriate care to people living with dementia from a culturally diverse background. Of course, previous evidences relating to language interpreter services for general healthcare population has shown a positive outcome. So we should try to, yeah, so that the mainstream services that are available must, or they can do more to accommodate diversity in the aged care service, you know, that they deliver to people living with dementia. Yeah. Then, and also from the second one, from my studies, one of my findings is related to the contributing factors to the neuropsychiatric symptoms and pain behaviors. So when you say neuropsychiatric symptoms, people living with dementia, they express certain behaviors. For example, they become more aggressive. They show agitation. So from my studies, so it shows that, you know, not having access to, you know, language support, you know, linguistically appropriate care, it has some association with the people living with dementia showing certain behaviors and the pain, the pain experience that they go through. So it only indicates that the care services has to be language appropriate, culturally appropriate. Yeah, so there's a need for whatever the age, you know, the health information, the campaigns, the awareness, the trainings needs to be done in linguistically, you know, safe manner. The core findings from my research indicates the need for culturally and linguistically safe care, which means we need to give appropriate language support for people living with dementia, as well as to their relatives or their caregivers, the family members.
Do you think this is where perhaps AI can play a big role in providing these solutions at scale?
So yeah, I will try to link, because since I used the secondary data for my studies, so all of my studies, I've used the data already collected. So secondary data. So in these times of digital, you know, it's everywhere is digitalization. You know, our life has been totally digitalized now. Another finding from my research, I try to say, you know, it indicates that it's now for people living with dementia, it's challenging to collect data from them. So now why not we optimize the use of the data that has already been collected? For example, in the aged care facilities, all are digitalized. All the data for individual people living with dementia are all in the system. So why can't we use the data, the secondary data? So of course now there sometimes we use secondary data and big data, you know, interchangeably, which is not actually there are a lot of differences. But then yeah, so we will recommend using secondary data for dementia care and research, considering all the challenges that we face while collecting or while interviewing or when we do research with people living with dementia. Yeah, so when you say now how AI, artificial intelligence will help, I can say definitely it will. Not in terms of, I'm not sure about in terms of care, but in terms of data, in terms of evidence that we have. And in considering the challenges that we face doing research on people living with dementia, definitely the big data or the secondary data has to be used, properly used, so that we can draw certain insights, we can, you know, draw some experiences from the data that we can use to improve our services for people living with dementia, definitely. But in terms of, I'm not really sure, maybe there may be evidence in the literature that the AI can be used, AI can be used to improve the care. In terms of research, definitely AI is going to have a huge impact. But in terms of care, I'm not really sure, so I cannot comment. So maybe, probably, so I think we need to further studies.
One of the things that sparked that question was because you've published a paper around a review of dementia research priorities. So I was fascinated, like, because you're right, this, it's a huge question. But so then the follow-up question is, how do you prioritize this as somebody who wants to make an impact?
Yes, yeah. In that publication that you just mentioned, yes, I was fortunate enough to work with other colleagues. In terms of immigrants, I think number one priority that we need to prioritize for dementia care is to give them the knowledge, give them the information about dementia care services in Australia, for example. Yeah, giving them the information, giving them the direction, the awareness of dementia care services will definitely help them to get access to navigate the complex healthcare system in a foreign environment, and eventually, you know, to access the available services, because most of the immigrants from Asia, you know, and from Europe, we have that the culture of familial pity. We call it familial pity. So a daughter or son has to look after their parents when they are sick, when they are old. So it is a sort of an obligation in some cultural settings, in cultural settings, especially in Asian cultural context. This is one reason why, you know, people don't send their parents to aged care, aged homes. So yeah, so there is a stigma around this. If someone sends the parents to aged care settings, so there are people, your relatives, your friends, you know, stigmatizing. Oh, he's not able to, you know, he's not taking care of his parents. He's not able to give, you know, repay whatever that their parents have done when they were young, you know. So this sort of, you know, feelings, this sort of stigmatization is still around in some culture. So I think the most important is giving the, you know, the information, you know, the awareness of dementia care services, you know, that are available, and how important it is to access those services.
It's one of the reasons why I'm having this podcast, so people like you can share this knowledge to a wider audience. Thank you so much, Belden. Like, this has been really a very interesting conversation. I learned a lot. How can people reach out to you, learn more about your work, support your work? How can they do that?
Thank you, Matthew. Yes, in fact, this is an opportunity for me that you gave me the platform to create awareness, raise awareness, and share information. You know, whatever the research outcome that as a researcher, you know, as a, if it's not disseminated properly, if it does not trickle down to, you know, the people who really need the information, so I don't think that the real essence of research is not being fulfilled. And yes, thank you for this platform. I'm on LinkedIn. I use Facebook as well, and I use TikTok sometimes.
Fantastic.
But now I'm thinking of taking all my research publications, all my findings on different social media platforms to disseminate, you know, to share information.
Very, very interesting, because I totally get your point that it shouldn't be research for research's sake. There should be some trickle on into industry and impact to the people that actually you're researching about, right?
Exactly.
Send me your TikTok link. I'll put that in the podcast description, because it is, people do need to know more about the good work that's happening.
Yes, I can share you my, not TikTok. I'm quite new on TikTok, so maybe I can share the other, my Facebook. Yeah. Usually I post about my research on Facebook, And even on LinkedIn, I'm very new. So I'm trying, I'm going to post all my research publications on LinkedIn as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of these type of stories, interviews, and guests, please follow the Dementia Research Project wherever you get your podcasts. Onwards and upwards.